CinemaJaw is brought to you by Race You to the Bottom. Jimmy is a loser. Matthew is a sociopath. Free to Amazon Unlimited subscribers, part one of the Dredges series, Race You to the Bottom by Chris Owens. One man child's journey through loneliness, drug abuse, and bullying at the hands of the one person he thought he could trust, culminating in a shocking and disturbing series of events that will leave Jimmy forever changed. Race You to the Bottom by Chris Owens. Get it on Amazon Unlimited for free today.
And by
Spectrum Safety Training. Spectrum provides OSHA 10-hour and OSHA 30-hour training. Spectrum also provides food safety training for restaurant managers and food handlers. Avoid OSHA citations and fines. Prepare and prevent. Don't repair and repent. Call today to register into the next available classes. 847-780-8944 or visit SpectrumSafetyTraining.com for more info. You're listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location once again at Rise Condo. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is
Rye, the movie guy, and this week on CinemaJaw, Matt, we get lost. We go off the trail. We get lost in the forest as we cover our top five favorite wilderness movies.
Yeah, and hey, man, you know what you can find in the wilderness?
No, I don't know.
Turkeys.
It's Thanksgiving time, and that's all you got on your mind is turkeys.
And gravy, candied yams.
There you go. And beer.
Stuffing.
We are covering our top five favorite wilderness movies because there is a new film coming out entitled Wild, starring Reese Witherspoon. We're going to go eye for an eye on Wild, and we thought, why not cover our favorite wilderness films?
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's fitting, too, because Elias lives outdoors quite a bit, so we put that jaw box out in the wilderness, so he might even have something to say there.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Have you ever had a turducken?
Never.
No?
No, I don't even know what it is.
It's a turkey stuffed with a duck that's stuffed with a chicken.
Come on.
It's a turducken.
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of a turducken?
No.
It's delicious.
How do you make that? In the oven?
You start with a chicken, you stick it inside of a duck, and then you stick the whole thing inside of a turkey.
So those two are already cooked. You cook the chicken,
I have no idea.
Put it in the turkey?
Hey, man.
Throw it in the jaw box. I want to know how that thing is prepared. It sounds ridiculous.
My signature dish for Thanksgiving is Pop-Tarts.
Oh, so Matt Kay.
Yeah.
So Matt Kay. In addition to covering our top five favorite wilderness movies, we have a guest that's going to be joining us. He's been on the jaw once before. We love the guy, Mike McNamara, better known as Mac here in Chicago.
Yeah.
He runs the Midwest Independent Film Festival, and they always end in December with sort of a big gala and giveaway awards, they call them, I believe, the BMAs, the Best of the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And Mac's a great guest to get in the morning, too, because he's just an amped guy, so, you know. This is better than coffee.
Yeah, and he's got a Bloody Mary roll, and Elias is on his third now. This is going to get real wacky here. Also, I got out and caught Horrible Bosses 2. We have a full review of that.
Can't wait to hear that.
Plus, because of Wild coming out, I thought it would be fun for you to take Mac on in Reese Witherspoon movie trivia. Oh,
man.
Oh, boy.
It's going to not end well for me.
So, as always, Matt, it is a jam-packed jaw.
Yeah. It's like a turducken.
I can't wait to hear how that thing's prepared. Elias better look that thing up. I love it. Maybe we should have one sometime.
We should.
Without further ado, we bring in our guest. Mike McNamara has been running the Midwest Independent Film Festival for more than 5 years now. It's amazing how old this festival has gotten. It keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. Mac, welcome back to CinemaJaw.
Thanks for having me. Love being here with you guys. And by the way, instead of 5 years, it's actually been here 10 years. It's our 10th year. It feels like five, to be honest with you. I can't believe I've done anything for 10 straight years. But we have First Tuesdays with the Midwest Independent Film Festival. It's our 10th year, so pretty cool.
That's awesome. Now, obviously, like I said, Mac had joined us once before. We covered Midwest film. But obviously, there's new jawheads all the time that are listening. So just recap the festival, because it's sort of unique. It's not just one time a year. It actually is running every month of the year.
Yeah, a couple things make it really unique. One, we only show films that are made in the Midwest, you know, Chicago, Minneapolis, Detroit, Milwaukee. We only show films that are made in the Midwest, and we're the only film festival in the country where if you didn't make it here, we ain't showing it. So the other thing that makes it unique is it's a year-round film festival. So instead of it being 5, 6, 10 straight days, and then you meet a bunch of great filmmakers, and then you don't see him again for another year. We do it all year round, every first Tuesday of the month at Landmark Century Center Cinema here in Chicago. So it's the reason we did that is to kind of create a hub, a place where, you know, the filmmakers in our community can all come together all year round and celebrate each other's work.
Sure. And it is cool because I've obviously have been out there. I've volunteered for the festival for a long time. And also I came out and interviewed a couple of filmmakers earlier in the year.
Oh, yeah.
And what I love, too, is because we have so many guests on CinemaJaw, I'll be standing. There's always like a cocktail party. That accompanies
We'll always have a reception before, and we'll have a what we call our producers panel, where we'll get some great filmmakers to come together and talk about their craft. We've had everyone, you know, from producers of some of the biggest films in the country to, you know, the co-creators of Chicago Fire, that NBC show.
Yeah.
You know, next year we're hoping to have some really big guests. So,
And I always think to myself, I'm a nobody in this film community, but I go to this cocktail party and I know so many people that we've either had on as guests.
Oh, Ryan, you're not a nobody.
You'll see like a Kathy Byrne from SAG.
Kathy Byrne, who runs SAG, sure.
And I run into these people. I'm like, oh, they've been guests. And so now I'm like, you know, handshaking around. And I'm like, this is great, great event to bring.
I like how you
together.
Made that question about you, Ryan. That was well done.
Yeah.
I almost gave you a hug there, Ryan, because you're like, I am somebody. I almost came across the table and just gave you a hug and patted you on the back and said, no, you're really not, dude. You're really not.
Well, what was funny is when I went in there, I really thought, like, well, I'll just go interview these, you know, directors. And it was for the movie that took place in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, right. It's called We Always Lie to Strangers. Actually, it just came out on iTunes.
And it was awesome, you know? And so I was like, oh, this will be fun. But I don't know I'm going to meet anybody. And I go in there and I literally probably talk to about 10, 15 people that were either on CinemaJaw or I've met because of CinemaJaw, all up on that little balcony there.
Yeah, but that's what the fest is all about, is because a lot of times in Chicago, in the Midwest, you're kind of doing your own thing in your own little sandbox, and you make a short film, you make a feature, and then you run out to LA and you run out to New York. And the point of the Midwest Independent Film Festival is to help create a community here so that you can build your career here. Not to say you don't work with people in LA and New York, but you should be able to build a career here in Chicago in the Midwest.
Sure. Now, we mentioned at the top that you're coming to the end of the year, 2014.
Yep.
And December, instead of first Tuesday and showing a new film, you guys actually do a gala where you give away awards, sort of the best of the Midwest.
Right. It's called the Best of the Midwest Awards. We call it the BMAs. It'll be at Underground this year. Special thanks to Billy Deck and all those guys, huge, huge, huge supporters of the fest, and they're hosting it this year. It's downtown. It's a blowout, and it's going to be Tuesday, December 2nd, so it starts off that whole holiday stretch of parties and throwdowns. Tickets are only $50, and it's 2 hours open bar and you know, drinks and food, and then just all the best filmmakers in Chicago coming
affair?
Out.
I mean,
you know, you shouldn't dress like we're dressed right now. You know, if you dress up, I would dress up a bit, but it's definitely not black tie. No, don't wear a suit. But, you know, dress like you're going out, you know, to be in public somewhere on like a Friday night or something like
fancy
that. But
restaurant.
It's Tuesday. Yeah, fancy restaurant, you know. Dress up, look good, have
this
fun,
this
drink.
This is how I always dress, man.
This is as nice as it gets.
Matt, you're not wearing clothes. Matt, you're in a wife beater and briefs. This is not appropriate for life.
So no spaghetti stains?
No spaghetti stains.
Okay. I love it. So obviously there's already nominees announced. That you can find out who's nominated online at the website?
Yeah, you can see who's nominated, and then you'll over at midwestfilm.com, and we also have a list up there right now of people that are attending, so you can actually go there and see, okay, who's coming out to this thing. And it's going to be a pretty impressive list. Everyone from top filmmakers in the city to even some of the top advertising people in the city to film distributors, editors, actors, writers. We bring them all together for one huge night. It's going to be cool.
And Rye the Movie Guy is listed right at the top.
And at the top is Rye the Movie Guy. our unofficial master of ceremonies for this year, Rye the Movie Guy.
I love it. Good stuff. So for the local filmmakers,
no tickets will be sold. No, I'm just kidding.
For local filmmakers, because Elias, you know, for instance, is always making short films, and there's always a spot for shorts in the festival.
Yeah.
You guys do 1 week, or do you guys show shorts throughout?
We'll show shorts
year?
All year round, but you know, we try to do some months we'll do shorts where all directed by women. Other months we'll do all shorts that are funny, you know, or comedic shorts. We even have one night that's really cool called Advertising Community Shorts Night, where we bring together the advertising world and the filmmaking world, and we show all the films that ad creatives work on when they're not making commercials. So,
cool.
So we kept trying to find ways to expand the filmmaking community and in Chicago in the Midwest, and there's just... It's a huge advertising contingent in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in Detroit,
Leo Burnett,
St. Louis, Leo Burnett's right here. So we thought reaching out to that talent, and that's been a huge hit too. So, and we'll also show short films. We'll show music videos to open for features when we're showing a feature. So all year round, fire those shorts at us. Just drop me a line, mac@midwestfilm.com, and send me a link to it, and mention Cinema John. We'll give it a look.
Awesome. And so for the jawheads that are listening to this that might want to become members or buy tickets for 2015,
yep.
A lot of exciting things happening there. The best place to go online or contact to buy tickets?
Yeah, just go to midwestfilm.com. And of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. But yeah, midwestfilm.com, and come check us out every first Tuesday. It's a good time.
2015 going to be the best year yet?
I think so. You know, we kept, you know, and when we started this out, you know, we just kind of ran up our credit cards. We didn't know if this thing was going to last 3 or 4 months. There's this, like, what we're, you know, literally my buddy, Mike Quilford, who's a producer and a cinematographer in town, who we started this with. We were like, can we really run a fest only showing stuff that's made in Chicago and the Midwest? We're like, I don't know.
Every month,
yeah. All year round. So, and it is quite an undertaking, you know, but early on, we didn't know if this thing was going to last 3-4 months. So to be here 10 years later, and we just kept raising the bar, you know, we'll show films that made their premiere out at Sundance, you know, we have one of which I might be talking about a little bit later today, you know, so we're showing films that are at South by Southwest, Tribeca, Sundance, really great films. And then we're also showing films that you will never see anywhere else that are just these amazing, amazing locally made gems. So
that's
pretty
awesome.
Proud of it.
Awesome. So definitely jawheads, get involved. Like I said, I've been out there many a times, and it's just a blast. And on a Tuesday, first Tuesday of the month, it's a great way to get it going. I love it.
It'll rival your Friday, I promise you.
and the cocktail receptions afterwards are great too. They always have an open bar.
You might even meet Rye the movie guy there.
We sure as shit won't meet Matt Kubinski there, because that dude won't show up to this thing. Will you, Matt?
I got two kids.
It's 2:50. Oh, okay.
That's why I can
handle any excuse other than I got two kids.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Done. Mac, can't say anything.
Done.
Mac, I'll be there this year.
All right.
Some point.
Put it in the books. That's great. I'll pay for the babysitter.
Yeah. Throw that in the jaw box. I like it. Matt, it's obviously going to be a lot of fun when Mac stops by.
He has
his top 5 favorite wilderness movies. Can't wait to hear it. It does bring us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore, and Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
Fogelbook.com.
Tell me more.
Fogelbook is a social network which gives its members the ability to promote and build an income worldwide. Members can create a customizable profile page, blog daily, and interact with customers in the forum section. Fogelbook's revenue opportunity offers a 50-cent commission on all members' personal sales, plus a 15% override commission on their personal sales. As a special, they are rewarding all paid members entrance into their Founders Club. This gives members access to Fogelbook's monthly performance pool. Fogelbook is the only place you need to be. Check it out at Fogelbook.com. And we thank them for their support.
Eye for an Eye this week met Wild, a chronicle of one woman's 1,100-mile solo hike undertaken as a way to recover from a recent life catastrophe. The screenplay was written by Nick Hornby, who adapted it from the best-selling novel by Cheryl Strayed. The film stars Reese Witherspoon and is from the same director who just did last year's Dallas Buyers Club. Matt, interested or ignore on Wild?
Interested. Although it sounds a little dry.
It does.
Yeah.
But you like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's actually in one of my favorite movies.
Oh, interesting.
Actually, she's in a couple of my favorite movies.
Wow. Interested or ignore, Mac, on Wild?
I'm interested because I just saw that I think she is naked in the movie. And I find that as a positive for me as someone that is not single, that has a lovely girlfriend that I live with. I need to have my little happy moments outside of our relationship. So I might go to the theater just to see Reese Witherspoon without clothes on, apparently in some sort of wilderness forestry situation.
Nice. Well, it just piqued my interest a little bit more. I was already interested. But now I'm really interested.
I already thought this was good. Now it's great.
Did she not get naked in Cruel Intentions? Or at least show a boob?
Maybe she showed. This might have been. Yeah, I think so. Maybe like a side.
Yeah, throw it in the jaw box. Throw it in the jaw box. Was Reese Witherspoon naked before Wild? And if so, what movie?
Oh, definitely naked before Wild, I think. But I don't know when.
And if she was in a movie, at what time in the movie? So just, we can fast forward.
Just turn image search off, okay, man?
I'm also interested. I've seen the book on. I have not read the book, but it's all over the bookshelves. I've seen it, and I've thought about reading it for a long time, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty interesting. And then I saw the movie was coming out, and Reese Witherspoon, I wouldn't say one of my favorites, but up there. I like her when she's bites into a good role, she really can pull it off.
I agree. She's hit or miss with me, though. I mean, it's really all or nothing with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, there's times I actually hate her, you know?
Exactly.
I've watched a movie and I'm like, oh, that Reese Witherspoon's just terrible. Then I'll watch another movie and I'm like, my God, she's fantastic.
Exactly, so, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's back and forth. Three interesteds on Wild. I thought it would be fun to go round robin really quick and ask what your favorite Reese Witherspoon film is. Mm. Do you have one off the top of your head?
Oh, Matt? Yeah, no. There's no contest. Election.
Really?
Absolutely.
She was young in that one. It's a great film, though.
She played young. She was probably in her mid to late 20s, but such a great movie. Really off the wall. Great. Probably Matthew Broderick's best. Ferris Bueller, but I love Election.
Nice. Mac?
That's a great call, and that was definitely Matthew Broderick's best movie. I loved Election, but I'm going to go with Freeway when she was because you mentioned when she was young. This is when she was really like playing a teen, and just kind of this, it kind of put her on the map because you're like, who is this woman? I mean, you know, who is this person? You know, because she just had this edge to her and just was just a fireball, and it was just a great film, and you know, kind of stayed with you. So that's for me, that's the one that kind of put her on everyone's radar and,
sure,
and led to the great career she's had.
I don't know if I've seen that one. I got to check it out.
You got to see it.
Yeah.
You got to see it. She just destroys poor Kiefer Sutherland. It doesn't go well for him.
Nice.
Child molester.
I hate to be predictable here, but I'm going to go with her Academy Award winning performance in Walk the Line. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first time that I was like totally blown away by someone who I thought was not that talented. I think up until that point, I liked her in Election. You know, she was, I was like, back and forth with her. And I remember watching Walk the Line and thinking, how can this be? She's not that good of an actress. I was so blown away by both her and Joaquin Phoenix in that movie. I just absolutely loved it.
She had Joaquin Phoenix to act along with.
Oh, they were both great. Helps. They were both great. So that would be my favorite. Now, we threw this question out onto Twitter about, I don't know, about 5 minutes ago. We get any responses?
Yeah, we did. A&B Film Podcast, who is AB Film Podcast on Twitter, said, there's only one correct answer. Election. She gets a free pass for anything else because of how great that film is.
There you go. You got a
good point. Good point.
Got someone agreeing with you there.
All right. First Time Watchers, who is the numeral one ST Time Watchers on Twitter, said Little Nicky. Because who remembers she was in Little Nicky?
I don't. I've never seen Little Nicky.
Oh, really?
That's an Adam Sandler joint, I believe.
I own it on DVD.
Oh, of course you do.
I spin it all the time. But I didn't remember she was in that. Mark Herney, who is the same on Twitter, said, best film is Mud because Jeff Nichols. Best performance is June Carter in Walk the Line because she learned to sing for the role. Nailed it.
There you go. I agree with Mud also. Big fan of this one. Obviously, Matthew McConaughey was in it. And Reese Witherspoon.
Who's he?
And he obviously, Reese, this was really on his rise. You know, Mud was like one of his, like, wow, this guy's starting to roll.
And
he really continued with it.
Right after the whole Killer Joe thing.
Right. He did Killer Joe. He did Mud, and he just really started rolling. But Reese Witherspoon in that particular movie was playing sort of like a white trash, which is, in my opinion, very tough for her to do because it's Reese Witherspoon. But
Go see Freeway.
All right. Can we take it down a notch here with Reese Witherspoon? Because Sweet Home Alabama, guys.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Let me end the Reese Witherspoon conversation with this sledgehammer that is known as Four Christmases.
Oh, man.
You guys are ruining my Reese Witherspoon trivia at the end of this game because you're mentioning
them all. I was going to save it. I'm like, when is the right time to Hulk smash this convo? Four Christmases. For that film to have been made, for anybody to be involved in it, was a disgrace.
Let me have a sip of my Bloody Mary on that note.
Yeah, Bloody Marys. Yeah, I rarely have Bloody Marys, and every time I do, I'm like, this just tastes like tomato soup. It's just like tomato soup.
Yeah,
and then you have six of them, and then you're passed out, ice cold. You know, you're just passed out in the corner. But I'm a whiskey guy. I just feel weird, like I'm drinking tomato soup.
Yeah, but in the morning, the best morning cocktail is
what's better than tomato soup and vodka.
Nothing.
No, nothing. Reese Witherspoon.
All right. Brings us to a theater review. I did get out and catch Horrible Bosses 2.
Every week, we like to highlight local inventors and entrepreneurs. What is it that inspired three regular Joes to go into business for yourselves?
Well, we were all working at pretty terrible jobs for some awful bosses, and we just thought if we ever got a chance to be our own bosses, that we'd do things differently.
Yeah, we came up with the Shower Buddy.
I'm sorry, that name's not official yet. I wanted the Shower Daddy.
Shower Daddy is worse on pretty much every level, so...
Yeah. Why would your buddy be in the shower with you?
Why would your dad?
Matt, I gave the first Horrible Bosses a passing grade and hit a few laughs with it, but I never thought that it warranted a sequel. But this is Hollywood we're talking about. The premise for the sequel is not a strong idea either. That's what really bothered me going in. The three main characters, Nick, Dale, and Kurt, are trying to start their own business, selling an all-in-one shower tool called the Shower Buddy. However, a rich businessman, played by Christoph Waltz, decides to backstab them and steal their idea, basically, in a nutshell. So they, in turn, kidnap their son, played by Chris Pine, to get ransom money and keep their business. The film had a lot going against it, but I ultimately found myself laughing and chuckling along because of the great chemistry of the leads. Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day are perfect together. Their characters are just dumb enough to get silly laughs, but smart enough to keep you interested. The sight gag in the opening scene is something we've seen many a times before. Think Austin Powers and The Tent. Yet I still laughed. Bateman once again proves he is the best straight man in the biz. One scene in particular, when everyone in the car other than Bateman is eating a Twizzler, proves how his on-screen likability is just through the roof. I can't say this is a film you should run out and see, but if you're looking for a laugh, Horrible Bosses 2 has a few inside it. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 2.5 Jaws.
Okay, so recently we did comedy sequels. I believe it was with, the guest was McPadden, wasn't it? Comedy sequels we did with Mike McPadden.
Okay.
Anyway, how does this hold up on the scale of comedy sequels?
Yeah, we obviously talked on that episode how difficult it is to do a comedy sequel. They all do suck.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this is probably going to get overall bad reviews, mainly because of the premise, and it's a lot of the same thing that we've seen in the first film. But for me, the chemistry, as I mentioned, between the three is hilarious. And they bring back Jennifer Aniston, who played...
Right. Did she take her clothes off again?
Yeah, she's in like a sexy leather lingerie getup.
Max ears just pricked
and,
up.
And she says some absolutely filthy things in this one. If anything, they turned up the notch, because she plays this like sex addict dentist.
Right. You gotta do
it's
more.
It's subtle comedy.
Right. And then on top of that, you have Kevin Spacey, who's like foul mouth, is one of the bosses, and he's got a little part in there as well. And he's just, again, turned up the notch a little bit more. At the end, he's just a little bit more foul mouthed. Does it work? I mean, I laughed. I enjoyed it, mainly because of the characters, and really mainly because Jason Bateman. He makes the whole movie work, and he's really playing Michael Bluth. Don't get me wrong. He's playing the straight man in between all this.
At this point, I think it's fair to say he's playing himself.
Yeah. It's basically the real deal right there. But overall, if you're going to go, you're going to have some laughs. I think people will chuckle at this one. Great, no, but passing grade. Almost the same as the first Horrible Bosses.
So what are you giving this?
2.5 Jaws.
Two and a half Jaws. Right.
Yeah. So check it out, Jawheads. But please, if you're listening, anybody on the Horrible Bosses team, do not make a third movie. It is definitely not warranted.
All right.
Leave this one there.
Leave it alone, guys.
Yeah, there is no really wilderness in there, but as we were talking, Reese Witherspoon has the new movie Wild coming out. That is our topic for our top five this week, and Mac is getting us started.
All right.
Oh, boy. Okay, ready. All right, so that I'm going to give you my number five.
Yeah, give us
my
our
number
five.
Top wilderness, and I might have a broader idea of wilderness, but basically it just takes care, it's going to take place at some point in some sort of unknown, kind of desolate scenario. My number five is Tropic Thunder.
Yeah,
nice.
In the wilderness, Tropic Thunder, one of the better comedies we've had that's come out in the last decade or so. You are in the wild. And it kind of broke the mold. You know, I think we're going to have a lot of drama in this list because most of those wilderness movies involve survival and things like that. So let's throw in Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr. So great to see him get the Oscar nom for that crazy ass performance. And I loved it. So
great pick. And I agree with you. It's becoming a classic. As it's aging here, people are looking at Tropic Thunder as, like you just mentioned, one of the best of the 10 years when you're talking comedies.
Yeah.
Nice pick. What do you got sitting there, Matt?
Okay, well, you want to talk about classics. Here's definitely, I think, one of the best outdoor wilderness classics of all time. And it is called The Great Outdoors.
I like that pick.
Nice pick.
Dan Aykroyd, John Candy, pretty much at their prime. You know, you got two different families. One's kind of the everyman family, John Candy. And then you got the snobby in-laws from the city. And they come together for this vacation and hijinks ensue. And I think one of the best scenes in that film has got to be the raccoon translation, you know, the whole lips and assholes thing. Every time my kid asks for a hot dog now, I tell him they're made out of lips and assholes. To this day, that movie has affected me that much.
Yeah, and of course, obviously, you got that scene where John Candy's got to eat the steak. It's called the...
Oh, yeah.
It's got a name. Throw it in the Jawbox. I don't know if you can look it up, but what the challenge is. But he comes out, and they're like... finished it, and they're like, no, even the fat.
Yeah,
you
know? There's nothing left but grizzle.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
nice pick at number five. My number five, actually, I go with a Liam Neeson film, and I actually would say I did not like the movie, but when you're talking wilderness movies, it was the only aspect of the movie I did like. Came out in 2011. I'm speaking of The Gray.
The only aspect was Liam Neeson?
No, the wilderness aspect, because their plane crashes in Alaska.
Right,
sure. And
I've seen that movie before.
Exactly. Yes. And they basically now at this point are being hunted by wolves.
I know. I was going to say, doesn't he fight some wolves in that? Just I'm like, ridiculous. I'll go see that. Just see
it's Liam Neeson fighting wolves in this movie. It's,
we'll
it's
take it.
So goofy. And there's no translation of what the wolves are thinking, like in The Great Outdoors. That might have made it a little bit better.
That would have made it better, I guarantee.
But the aspect I was going to say that I like about The Gray is the idea of, hey, they crashed and they're in Alaska and how cold it is. And how you got to survive with the snow, and you know,
there's something to be said for immersive for a film that really, and especially with these, whether it's a wilderness film, does it just really soak you and just dump you into that environment and just kind of create that absorbing world, you know? And I think that one definitely did that.
Yeah, that was my number five. We are into our fours. Mac, hit me.
So, as you guys know, I run the Midwest Independent Film Festival. My life is pretty much independent film, so I have to stay true to my roots. I am bringing out a film that isn't even out yet. You can't even see it. It's called It's called Craters of the Moon.
Is this a doc?
It has. No, it is not. It has 374 likes on Facebook. I actually saw it. I was screening films for another pretty well-known film festival, and it didn't make it into the fest, but it's now currently making its tour on the festival circuit. Basically, a couple they're driving in their car through North Dakota, running from the law, and they're literally driving in the middle of the snowstorm, and their car gets stuck in the middle of nowhere. And they are pretty much snowed in their car with nothing. And it's just this unbelievable dynamic between these two.
Oh, wow.
Stars an actress named Brita Wool, who's really good in it. It's going to come out at some point. Find it on Facebook. Check out the trailer. It's called Craters of the Moon. So I had to go deep indie for Cinema Jaw today.
Wow. I love it. I love how he brings it. And that sounds really interesting.
It does.
And two, I love when, obviously, the thing with independent films, especially something small like that, is money and budget. You gotta keep it tight.
Literally, an entire film like that takes place in a car.
That's awesome.
You know, and it's pretty unbelievable. And you know, when you think of wilderness, I mean, that's what it is. You have nothing.
Right.
You're cut off from the outside world. Your cell phone doesn't matter. None of that. You have nothing but yourself, and you're up against the elements.
North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Where's Allison Jones from?
I think she's from North Dakota. No, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
I pair them together. It's set in the Dakotas.
Yeah.
Who knows? I think it was North, because I'm assuming that one would be colder and snowier than South Dakota.
Nice.
But that's probably not true.
Craters of the Moon.
Craters of the Moon.
I like it.
Great film.
Matt, what do you got sitting at number four?
Number four, I'm going the exact opposite. It's a film we've all seen 100 times. It's the manliest of all films, in my opinion. We just talked about it recently, but I'm not afraid to put Predator on this list.
Yeah, that's a killer.
I mean,
no pun intended.
This is the hunted becomes the hunter. You know, great story. It starts off as like an action military movie, and then quickly devolves into this hunter cut type story, stalker kind of thing. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is forced to use the environment to his advantage. It's his only advantage against this hunter alien that's trying to kill him and take his skull and put it on his wall.
Yeah, nice pick.
Thank you.
I like it. It came up on the last episode.
I got Predator on my mind. This time of year always makes me think of Predator.
It's questionable, but yeah. I love it.
Swings it over to my number four. This one came out in 2007. It's a Sean Penn directed film. It has Wild in the title. I'm speaking of Into the Wild.
Also on my list.
Nice.
Also on my list.
Really?
Where'd you have it, Mac?
I had it coming up next, so I'll just replace it with something else.
Okay. I had it at number two.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had it at three.
We'll just talk about it here. And what I wanted to say, too, is I've recently rewatched it. I love the premise of the movie. I like the idea, what the movie is saying, you know, and the character's idea of like, hey, he's just going to get rid of all his possessions, go up to Alaska. I mean, we're so hooked on what life is these days. What house we're going to buy, car we're going to get. This guy was just like, hey, I just want to live life, go up to Alaska. And I do say, though, I watched it, and I think Emil Hirsch good performance, but I think that movie could have been outstanding if it was, say, like a DiCaprio or a little bit stronger of an actor. Mm-hmm. As I was watching, because so much of it is just Emil Hirsch by himself in the wilderness, a little bit stronger of an actor, I think it would have been even that much stronger of a movie.
Yeah, he doesn't quite have that star power charisma, you know, because there's definitely points in the movie where he plays crazy and you get all emotional and starts sweating and goes crazy. And people think, oh, that's amazing acting. Well, that's kind of the easier part, to just kind of lose it and go crazy because he ate poison mushrooms or whatever it was he did at the end. You know, but
that was so sad, though.
It was sad. That's a heartbreaking film. Hey, that was my number three. But, you know, it is a good point. I think with someone with just a little more charisma could have kind of put it over the top, because that was one that got nominated or was in the was one of those that was considered a contender for a ton of awards, was supposed to get nominated for all these Oscars, and at the end, no Oscar noms, I don't think, other than maybe some artistic, you know, camera ones that no one cares about.
And also of note in that movie is the score is done by Eddie Vedder.
Oh, that's right.
And I love some of the songs. And so beautiful. I play them all the time. Great stuff. So if you haven't seen it, Jawheads, Into the Wild, definitely worth a spin.
Yeah, I remember there was that line where it talked about, like, you know, well, what are you going to do for work? And he just said, you know, a career is that's just something that society tells you have to have. You know, work is just something that society creates for you. And it stopped me in my tracks as I'm sitting there in the theater with 300 other people and just made me kind of reconsider, you know, what am I doing here? It's impressive for a film to accomplish that.
On that note, I remember I was working, and I still work at like a 9-to-5 job. And I remember it definitely impacted me, like, wow, it's so true.
It's
we're so brainwashed to think like, oh, what are you going to do for work, and how are you going to do this? And it's like, hey, just live life. What does it matter? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. That was my number four. We're into our threes. Mac, what do you got sitting there?
All right. So I had Into the Wild there. I'm going to replace it with more deep indie. Now I'm going deep indie. I'm giving you another one.
Deeper than the Craters of the Moon?
Than the Craters of the Moon, because actually Craters of the Moon you can actually see in public right now. This one, you can't even see in public. It hasn't even been released. It's called Bob and the Trees. And this is about a woodsman.
It sounds like a wilderness movie, Bob and the Trees.
Oh, this is deep. I mean, this is about a guy who's a logger, and the lead character is just fascinating in this film. He's got a bit of a hankering for gangster rap, which you'll understand when you see the film, and it's just he's fighting for his survival. The logging industry is something that's going away. And so you have this guy, Bob, that's fighting for survival. Here's the cool thing, Jawheads. So you can't see the feature because it's actually still kind of coming out. I was able to see it because I help out on some screening committees for some other film festivals. However, the short, which is a 28-minute short, which led to this feature, is out there on YouTube right now. So you can look it up. And just so I'm keeping my Facebook thing straight, Bob in the Trees has 256 likes on Facebook. Nice. So I'm going deep indie, because I run the Midwest Independent Film Festival, and that's what I got to do. But go check out. It's a 28-minute short film, nice. Bob in the Trees. Check it out, and eventually you'll be able to see this
feature.
I'm
going to watch this short tonight, man.
I love it.
You guys will dig it.
Got to love when Matt comes on and gives us these deep cuts. I like it. Matt, what do you got sitting at number three?
At number three, how about James Cameron? You know, this is The Abyss. There's a lot of different...
If you would have said Avatar, I would have taken you by the back of your neck.
No, not Avatar. The Abyss, man. I mean, there's a lot of different landscapes out there. And you know, going underwater, this was probably... It's up there with the Poseidon Adventure or just about any other underwater movie.
Right.
It's probably the best underwater movie. Can we all agree on that?
Underwater movie? Yeah. I would say there's no doubt.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Aquaman never got made, right?
Not yet.
That's the one superhero movie that is like... They keep saying they've been saying for about 20 years, at least 10 years, that they're going to make an Aquaman.
Yeah,
it just doesn't.
He's sort
get
of
made.
The redheaded stepchild of the Justice League.
Very well said. Absolutely.
But here's the one bone I have to pick. It's Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. Her performance was great. What I don't like is that name. You are Mary Antonio. Get over it. Come on, with four names now, this drives me crazy.
You do hate that.
Yeah. Mary Antonio, okay?
But I love
I'll even give you the hyphen. It's Master Antonio. Fine. But what's with the Elizabeth? If your last name is already hyphenated, drop your middle name.
Just drop it. We get it. You're important. All right? Move on.
Too many syllables.
I love what's his name in there? Ed
Harris.
Ed Harris. Yeah. I love him in there. One of my favorite performances in
He's
there.
He's great in just about everything, but
nice.
I agree.
Nice. I love The Abyss. Good pick. At my number three, I go deep. I go with a deep cut, as Mac likes to say.
I like it. Let's go deep.
I don't know if the Jawheads have seen this one. It's a slow burn. Let me tell you that right off the beginning. Came out in 2010. Stars Michelle Williams. I'm speaking of the film Meek's Cutoff.
I remember your review, and I've still never seen this one.
Right,
Max, never heard of confused.
It. Which is it's tough to stump me when you go deep into it. So yeah. That's impressive.
So this is basically settlers going through the Oregon desert circa 1845.
That's right. Yeah.
So they're going through this, and what sells you is their fear of the wilderness. I mean, that's the whole set piece of the movie, because a lot of times we think, oh, they just were able to like settle. They just went west. You know, these people just were so easy. There's a scene in this movie, for instance, they're crossing a river. I want to say the scene, and no talking. It's just the difficulty of getting the wagon and everybody across the river. It's got to be 15, 20 minutes long, and they're just, you know, showing how tough everything would be. And then two, not only that, the fear of, you got to trust all the other settlers that you're with. So one guy has this idea, they're supposed to be going this way. You're more or less trusting him, but that you see it on screen, everybody's sort of fearing like, this could be leading us to our death, because there might not be anything to eat, drink, water, any place to stay.
And we don't have GPS.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, somebody whips out a cell phone all of a sudden. You know? Yeah,
no Facebook.
Yeah,
problem solved.
But really, this is such an interesting film, and two, they use a lot of the sounds of the wilderness. You know, the creaking of the wagon, the wind. It's
That's
really
the key
interesting
with these wilderness films, which is why I love this list that you guys decided to put together. The wilderness becomes that additional character,
right?
That in the film, and that's what makes these successful, is when the wilderness becomes its own character, not just there's stuff going on and it happens to be in a forest. It's just where the wilderness becomes that character in the film.
I agree. So like I say, it's a slow burn. Don't watch this one on a Friday night after a few drinks. You'll fall asleep. But on a Saturday morning with a Bloody Mary, do it. It's awesome. Meek's Cutoff is the name of the film. That was my number three. We're into our twos. Mac, what do you got sitting there?
So this is a more recent film. I am going with, for my number two of best wilderness films, Gravity.
I like it. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I should ring the bell. Okay, I guess
that's
so.
Good. It kind of, what does that mean?
I was about to buzz you. I wasn't sure this was a wilderness movie, but I guess
going,
so.
I'm going outdoors. To push the envelope of what wilderness is, and you're perfectly okay to buzz me. And this is an outer space wilderness.
I agree.
They're trapped. And what I thought was so well done is you're immersed in it. You're there with them in that in this little spaceship, and
nature.
You know, it's nature. It's similar to them being stuck in the middle of, you know, Into the Wild. It's very similar in Into the Wild, but
Craters of the Moon, as you described it.
Or Craters of the Moon, absolutely. But it has that star power. It has that charisma with George Clooney, who I liked it. And I'm not the biggest Sandra Bullock fan, but she gets it done. And I just thought, again, what I just talked about is the wilderness being that character in the movie. Because they're really not going up against anything other than the wilderness.
Right.
In this case, which is outer space, the universe, you know.
I remember first watching that movie when she comes back to Earth, and then her craft goes underwater. It's like, what next for this poor lady?
We were all exhausted.
Scene.
Yeah.
Unbelievable scene.
Yeah, awesome. Good pick, yeah, actually. I think about it, I do. That's Max.
I might
two.
Have to talk you into this all one right. a little bit. I was happy to take on that challenge here on Cinema Joe.
All right, Matt, what do you got sitting there?
Mine was Into the Wild, so yeah. And I don't have anything else to add to that except... It made me sad. Sad movie.
Yeah, it is.
I cried a little.
Yeah. Guy died you know, I think when they show the photo of the guy, of the actual guy at the end of the film, of the man, it just, you don't see it coming, and it just kind of hits you right in the heart.
What sucks the most is that he knew he was going to die, and there was nothing he could do about it. That's kind of what really drove it home for me.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, but I think the sad part, too, is like when he obviously was going up there with sort of that intention that he was going to live up there. But when he sort of realizes for a moment, oh man, I'm screwed. And he doesn't want to die. You know, there's that moment where it's like, oh my God.
And
it's our instinct.
Wait,
yeah. It's our instinct to be
out.
Like,
I need a way out. And us
up.
Watching films, we assume, well, certainly he's going to get out when someone's going to show up and knock on the bus.
Where's
or whatever,
the helicopter?
You keep waiting. Right. Something's going to happen. They just happen, you know, a Boy Scout troop just happens to be passing through on a, you know, camping trip.
Nope.
Yeah. No camping trip. No Boy Scouts.
All right.
Just death. Death in the wilderness.
Let me keep it going here with the sad and real life stories here.
Okay.
At my number
two, I know what you got.
Danny Boyle's 2000 and I think it's 2010 film, 127 Hours.
With your boy James Franco.
Yep. I remember hearing that this was going to be James Franco basically on screen by himself, and basically the entire movie is going to have his arm pinned between a boulder and this cave. And I thought, how can you even make a movie out of that? Danny Boyle can make a movie out of it. And he used the beginning of going hiking and being in the wilderness, brought a lot of energy. I loved all his split screens in the front. And then, of course, Franco's performance, it all hinges on that. Can we actually watch this guy for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour movie? And he pulled it off. And when you finally get to the scene where he needs to cut off his arm, it's just, it's so rough to watch because A, it's visually, you know, disgusting, and it's a dull knife, and it's taking a long time. Oh. But it's also, I think,
what was it, like a Swiss Army knife, wasn't it?
You also get to the point of
serious.
It was. And you get to the point where if you were stuck in there and you had to survive, could you do it? I think I couldn't, but if I was pushed to it,
there you go, Mac. There's my Swiss Army knife.
I'm staring at a Swiss Army knife.
Sever your arm right. And get out of this Cinema Jaw episode.
I'm gonna go get at this. You guys keep going. I'm gonna start.
Nice and dull for you. There is a saw on there.
Oh man.
That would be even worse. I never saw this film, and I think it was for that reason. I was just like, am I ready? You know, it's one of those films where you have to say, am I ready?
Yeah.
Am I ready for this film? Can I handle this film? Do I need to, am I ready to take on this film right now? And I guess some point down the road. But
I love James Franco.
Yeah, but you haven't seen this movie yet.
No, I haven't.
Okay, and it ends very emotional. I remember, you know, having a tear in the eye at the end. And two, it ends with a picture of the real guy, you know, with his arm. Yeah. And everything that he, like, when he's going to do it, the things that he was dreaming, like, you know, I'm going to meet a wife, I'm going to have a kid, you know, I'm not going to die here,
yeah,
you know, god damn it, I got to cut my arm off. It's a crazy story, and what a movie. So
that is one of the pinnacle of human survival. I love it.
It's a wonderful pick for this list. Yep. I was pretty sure it was going to be on there somewhere.
We are into our number ones. These are the heavy hitters. Your favorite wilderness movie, Mac?
This has to be an independent film, and it has to be Midwest. So my number one wilderness film is Kings of Summer. Kings of Summer, shot in Ohio, just came out last year, was out at Sundance. This is a comedy. It's a coming-of-age comedy.
I have seen this one. Yeah.
Strong. I thought it was a really strong film, a lot of fun. And my buddy Jordan Vogt Roberts, who is a Chicago and Detroit guy, shot this. Nick Offerman's in it, Megan Mullally. A lot of comedy, and it's got, you know, basically some kids that basically decide to run away from home, and they go out into the wilderness, which it's not like they're doing the Into the Wild thing and moving to Alaska. Yeah.
They basically go to
a forest preserve.
Right.
And it becomes kind of its own. It just takes you back because you could see yourself in those kids' shoes,
sure,
being like, we're going to go out and start our own tribe and do our own thing and, you know, fuck the world, fuck it, you know, we're gonna, you know, be our own people. And it just leads to a lot of comedy, and you care about every single character on the screen. It's Midwest, it's independent, and I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. I recommend checking it out as well. A lot of laughs in there. There's that one kid in there that's absolutely hysterical.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so right. Definitely. I like it. Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good
check
pick.
It out. What do you got sitting there, Matt?
This is from one of my favorite actors of all time, Brendan Fraser, and George of the Jungle is
what?
You better beat the shit out of him.
I'm kidding.
Is there a beat?
Oh, all right. Nice. Thanks the Lord.
Oh, okay. I didn't. Thanks I thought. Lord. You know, I haven't been on in a while. I just thought maybe Mac got a little crazy.
You never know.
I've been back.
How about Castaway? I think it's a worthy number one. It's
absolutely
one of Tom Hanks's, and he's had quite a few, but I think this is one where he really carried the picture. Obviously, he's alone for a good part of the movie.
He had no choice but to carry the picture.
He had no choice.
And he got it done.
But they made you care about his relationship with this inanimate object, this volleyball. Absolutely. And a lot's been said about this, so I don't have to spend a lot of time on Wilson. But when Wilson leaves, when he gets swept away by the waves, how sad were you, Mac? I mean, like, did you cry? Did you shed
it
a little tear?
Yeah, I shed a little tear, and it is amazing, like you said, when a filmmaker is able to build these relationships and just emotionally invest you in what's happening on the screen, and that's what they did with Castaway.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, two is transformation. When they, you know, there's a cut there where obviously he's starting to live on the island, and then it sort of cuts to him, and he's got the long hair, he's skinny,
right,
and he's fishing, and he's got everything sort of down pat. You know,
right.
It's awesome. Yeah, great performance, great movie. I like it.
Yep.
Nice pick. Nice. My number one film came out not too long ago, about 2 years ago, directed by Ang Lee. And when I first saw it, I liked the film. I've seen it about two or maybe three times since then, and I'm going on paper and saying it's a masterpiece at this point. I'm speaking of Life of Pi. And the wilderness here being, obviously...
The open water.
The open water. And mm-hmm. really the story of Richard Parker and the animals, it's the idea, I mean, obviously a lot of people are saying, you know, it's a religious movie because, you know, he makes up these stories to sort of get along. You know, how is he going to survive this incredible journey? And you come to find out that he made up this, you know, sort of fantastic story of these animals on the boat and everything. And it sort of... you know, goes hand in hand with like religion, you know, in the sense of like these stories that were being told, you know, in religion. Doesn't even matter if they're real, as long as you're sort of getting some type of, you know, understanding, you know, it helps you guide you, whatever you take out of it.
Sure.
Kind of story. And that's interesting. And here, I think he needed those stories just to survive the wilderness. You know, you're out on a boat all by yourself. How are you going to do it? And you come up with this fantastic way of doing it. I love the movie now. I've seen it a few times. I've actually, been again very emotional when there's a storm and he's like sort of yelling, you know, out to the open sky and to God, you know, it's just crazy.
Anything where it makes you just think, what would I do in this situation? Where you're invested in yourself and it's kind of making you look back on your own life and mm-hmm. kind of what, you know, how would you respond in these situations? That's when cinema's most powerful. And that's what you find with a lot of, with these wilderness dramas. And that's a great pick.
Yeah.
It's a parable. I was looking it up because that's the word you're looking
there
for.
There we go. And you know what it is too? I love on the DVDs, you get the extra features. A movie Mac mentioned, Gravity, and also Life of Pi was a movie when I watched how they made the movie, I just appreciated it that much more. All the craftsmanship that went into this thing. And the actor who played Pi in the movie couldn't even swim in the movie. And obviously he's in a tank the entire time. He's underwater. He's, you know, and just all the stuff that had to go into
it. He learned fast.
You better. And that the tiger in the movie was completely digital is insane. I mean, how they did it all was amazing.
I mean, listen, I haven't seen the film. I have read the book, but... I have seen many clips of the movie, and that tiger looks freaking real.
It's unbelievable. I can't believe that it was digital. So
are we going to get into our films that didn't quite
make it? Yeah, honorable? You honorables. Got some honorables?
I've got some honorable. One, I'm stunned. I thought for sure someone was going to put Deliverance on this list.
No doubt. I told Matt that.
I actually didn't put on Deliverance because I'm like, well, surely one of these two guys is going to throw on. Surely Matt or Rye are going to throw on Deliverance. That's... And I actually never saw the film only because it scared me so. I mean, I don't. I was like a little kid at that time, and the whole squeal like a pig thing. You're right. Just kind of like, does that? It actually made me not. How many people out there will not go camping because of this film?
No doubt.
Oh, that just brought up another one to my mind. What about Blair Witch Project?
There you go. Sure. Was that film or was that reality TV or was that
the start of it? Sure.
A stunt.
Well, whatever it was memorable.
It was a memorable film.
And they were in the woods.
They were in the woods.
Yep.
Yeah, there's definitely people listening now that are like, how do you not put in Blair Witch Project?
Right.
Deliverance is almost, I mean, that's an iconic piece of our,
absolutely.
You know, of our culture.
Americana.
Americana. Yeah. And I mean, literally, I could not go camping. And I still am hesitant with camp. What are you going to do
when you hear that banjo?
What are you going to do when you're out there? If you're out there and things go wrong, you know, and people are like, oh, well, it's a campsite. It's an official campsite. Okay. Who's taking care of this campsite? Your cell phone doesn't work. You're in the middle of nowhere. What, you got some freaking 67, 300-pound fat-ass retired sheriff that's over a few miles away sitting in the lead cabin? What, he's going to run over and save you?
No.
If it goes down, you get some crazy idiots that decide they're going to ruin your life?
Yep. Oh, man. I agree. I'm not a big camping fan either, so I very seldom have gone camping.
And may I just say, Mac, you sure have a pretty mouth.
Oh, fuck. You guys just...
All right. Bring up another honorable. You got
something
else.
I have another honorable, which I think is important to recognize today here on Cinema Jaw, and that is Hungry Like the Wolf, the music video by Duran Duran.
You always seem to bring up Duran Duran, don't you?
I almost put it in my top. There's no way I was putting it in my top five.
Hilarious.
But I think maybe the best wilderness music video of all time.
And I
is
love the
Hungry
song.
Like the Wolf.
Yep.
Great song.
Great song.
Yep.
You know, they got the face paint on. She's kind of like a wolf. She's running around and he's just kind of like looking through the city to find his little crazy little vixen. Hungry Like the Wolf, Duran.
Good picks.
That is good.
Jawheads, if you're listening to this and we missed your favorite wilderness movie and you have Twitter pulled up, shoot us a tweet at CinemaJaw. We'll retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll pull Elias out of the jaw box. Plus, Matt, you will be taking Mac on in Reese Witherspoon movie trivia.
You sure have a pretty mouth. I did it again.
time, Rune.
We'll be right back.
Give me some more tomato soup and vodka.
We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Cinema Jaw is brought to you by Rocky Mountain Revival. Rocky Mountain Revival Literary Podcast is a haven for readers, writers, listeners, and dreamers. A literary oasis for word-thirsty wanderers. An island of freedom in an ocean of thought tyranny surrounded by sharks that feed on the imagination. And no, we are not exaggerating. They support all arts, though they have a focus on literature. Each episode features a special musical guest and a short story. They're from Colorado, and they're just getting started and seeking submissions from writers and musicians of all genres. Find Rocky Mountain Revival Literary Podcast on Podomatic, and look for them soon on iTunes. Email submissions to rmrpodcast@gmail.com, or check out their website at levindrewnoe.podomatic.com, and we thank them for their support. And by Itza Pizzeria. Itza Pizzeria offers coastal feel with classic Italian atmosphere. They offer Neapolitan pizza with new artisan specialty pizzas and award-winning numero uno thick crust, as well as an assortment of pastas, salads, and desserts. Their award-winning numero uno pizza has been voted the best pizza in Los Angeles. Join them for a traditional Italian dining experience minutes from the sand of the San Clemente Beach. Learn more at itzapizzeria.com. That's IZZAPIZZERIA.com.
And we are back on Cinema Jaw, hanging out with Mike McNamara, better known as Mac here in Chicago. And I'm so glad he brought up that tune. What a catchy tune, huh? Yeah,
big Duran Duran fan.
Once you hear it, it just gets right into you.
It gets right into you.
Gets you moving.
That's right.
Good stuff. We threw a couple items into the jaw box, and I know Elias.
He's hungry like the wolf.
He is hungry like the wolf. And I know he knows a thing or two about the wilderness. Heck, let's open up that jaw box.
Thank you, guys. I am very hungry, and I'm appreciative to Matt. The second year in a row, he got me a turkey, live turkey inside the jaw box.
Actually, Elias, I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, what's going on?
Have you ever seen Human Centipede?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh God.
This is turducken, but it's uncooked. They're all alive.
No, they're inside there.
This is three pets in one.
Mac, do you still have that Swiss Army knife? I'm ready to break them out of there.
Have you ever seen Human Centipede? Oh, that's the line of the day.
That is not a good line to start out a date with.
That really weird noise. Hello. Okay, so let's just jump right into the questions. Well, the first one was, how do you cook turducken? There was also, I think you said, how do you prepare? But I think the original question was, how do you cook? You prepare it. Apparently, there's layers of stuffing, two different types of stuffing to separate the duck and the chicken and the turkey and all that.
You're scaring me.
Yes, exactly. But you roast it at 300 degrees for 3 to 4 hours. Until it obviously reaches the internal temperature of 165 degrees. You baste it in the pan juices, and then there you go. Let it sit for 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Turducken.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Elias, get working on that.
You've got the ingredients.
Oh, the poor guys in there. All right.
It's Huey, Dewey, and Louie, by the way. I named them.
Wow, Matt had some cruel intentions with that.
Ooh, nice.
Which brings us cooking.
Brings us into Reese Witherspoon. Was she naked in cruel intentions? She was not, but she was naked in the movie Twilight, which apparently I'm Mr. Skin.
Not the Twilight right, that we're not thinking
no,
of.
No, right. It's a different film called
Please,
Twilight.
Please, because then a bunch of people are going to go see that awful trilogy.
I agree.
Exactly.
Vampires and wolves and garbage. That was, thank God, not on our fucking wilderness list. Yes,
exactly.
I would have walked out.
I think, Rye, you wondered how old she was. She was 38 years old. Oh. Somebody wondered. Yeah. Let's see. And the John Candy steak in the Great Outdoors, it's the old 96er.
96er, right.
Yeah, it was a 96-ounce steak, right?
Right. That's awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Is that everything?
That's everything.
All right. Get back in that jaw box. Boy, oh boy. I also like to say, when we have Mac on, I like to ask him a couple questions because he also is a writer over at Screen Magazine. And they do a lot of like casting calls and they're sort of up to date on what's filming in Chicago. There's a big one going down currently.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
Yep. All around town, all around the Midwest, actually. You'd be shocked to know that it's shooting in Michigan and shooting in Illinois. Batman versus Superman.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Dawn of Justice. It's new.
Who's in that?
He does Who these dumb this? Questions. It's very annoying.
So, of course, well, I mean, this is going to be, I mean, this is a film that I think isn't coming out. I might be, it's not coming out till 2016. I mean, it's kind of amazing the way we set these dates now. We're like, this is coming out in 2016.
Yeah, right.
It was initially supposed to come out in 2015, and then they pushed it. I mean, the undertaking with this, you're going to have Henry Cavill, who played Superman in the last couple. Then you have Ben Affleck. You've got another guy jumping into the bat suit. And it's fascinating to me that they keep putting another guy in the bat suit. And at this point, I mean, can you believe this all started with Michael fucking Keaton?
The Birdman.
No. Can you believe that?
I love it.
It's fascinating. Yeah. So you have Ben Affleck, who, I mean, you know, you think of Daredevil, and you're like, if he Daredevils this one, but we're going to be all very upset. But I actually think he's going to get it done with Batman. To be quite frank, it's a little bit easier character to play than someone like Daredevil.
See, this is Ryan's argument here. Yeah, I don't
it's
think
not that
it's
difficult
easier.
Of a character. I really? Think so. Yeah.
I think it's a more straightforward character. You know, it's dark. I mean, if you just deadpan and stare at people real intensely, it's going to work out. You know, if you try, if you put too much charisma into it, you're going to hurt that character a little bit. Just ask George Clooney. But you know, with Daredevil, that was just, and I don't even want to spend much time here talking about Daredevil. But that's Matt Murdock's a complicated character.
But
you know?
But on the filming of Batman vs. Superman, right. there was
shooting all over in Michigan. Almost all of it shot in Michigan. It was here in Chicago and Illinois.
I saw some of the photos because a lot of people went down there tweeting it out. And it was so cool to see. I saw Superman, Henry Cavill, holding Lois Lane like in the air. And he's on the streets of Chicago, all in costume. Cool. I thought, how cool does that look?
Yeah, you know? That's cool. That was actually, and I know the guy, this kid named Dan Marcus, actually put that on Facebook. And all of a sudden, all the mags started picking that up. And I was like, Dan, who was an extra on this film, I'm like, you actually fired. Can't do that, dude. Really? He put that out there and all that. And he's like, look, all these other magazines. I'm like, you just posted a photo from actual shooting. Like, you cannot do that. They actually had an almost lawsuit, and you can actually read about this on ScreenMag.com. You mentioned I write on ScreenMag.com for Screen Magazine. My article is called The Call Sheet, and I basically just talk all about stuff that's shooting in Chicago and the Midwest, which is a great fest. It's a great fit because I run a film festival that's all about what's shooting in Chicago and the Midwest. But apparently, there's an extra that mentioned that Robin will be played by a female. And I believe it's being played by Jenna Malone. And that extra almost got sued for like $5 million because there's a non-disclosure agreement. If you're on set and Robin shows up and it's being played by a woman, you can't put that out there.
That's, right. You can't tell people that is in Interstellar. You just can't do that.
I was actually going to say that. And I just thought I would be such an asshole if I said that right now. But Matt, you are the host of the show, so you can be the asshole today.
I'll bleep
That's
it
a
out.
Dick move.
It is. It is.
But it's unbelievable. You know, I saw that photo and I'm like, dude, you took that while they were actually shooting. This is a $250 million movie, and he put that out there. So
I think the moral of the story is don't be an extra on Batman Superman.
I had friends that are very well off and have more than their fair share of money, and they were like, I was going to go be an extra on that. I mean, you know, something as big as Batman versus Superman is almost one of those where you're like, I'll go be an extra. I just want to hang out on set.
It's
just,
fun,
you
right?
Know, yeah. I just kind of want to be around and just, hey, I'm on, with Amy Adams.
And
Affleck,
it caused a bunch of traffic on that weekend, too, because there were like helicopter shoots. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the city. Streets were closed. And I remember thinking like, damn it, I should just park my car and go watch and maybe take photos for CinemaJaw myself because it was so cool. But
what a great CinemaJaw episode. Yeah. If you're an extra and you're able to just kind of like recount your experiences as an extra from, Transformers 4 or Batman versus Superman. A couple other things that are shooting around town. I'm going to go indie now, of course. So you've got, there's an independent film called Thrill Ride that's shooting around town. My friend Angie Gaffney's one of the producers on that. My buddy Antoine Whitfield's one of the actors in that. Good family film. A lot of good people working on that. That's a local film made here, local awesome. Independent film. And also another one, Alicia Silverstone is actually going to be coming
around?
To Chicago. She is still around.
She's
going to
be playing
still
Robin?
Looks good.
Yeah.
She's playing Robin. No, she still looks good. You know why? Because she's vegan. Because she lives on kale, quinoa, and the urine of vegan goats.
Alicia Silverstone is going to be coming into town to work on the romantic comedy called Who Gets the Dog? And that's going to be produced by a couple buddies of mine, Reed Brody and Bill Ryan. He's going to be shooting here in town, and it's basically a divorce comedy. They're going to be shooting in January, and they just announced that they got Alicia Silverstone. Awesome. So kudos for our Chicago filmmakers here.
Definitely. And jawheads in the Chicagoland area that are into acting, definitely check out the call sheet at Screen Mag.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and not just acting, directing, writing. This will just give you kind of the lowdown on everything that's shooting around town. And if you're in Chicago or the Midwest and you're interested in film or working in film, it the best thing to do is to know everything that's shooting around town. And you know, hopefully we can help you guys out with that. It's screenmag.com.
Awesome. I had a friend from it was like a coworker lives out in Ohio, and they were coming to visit Chicago for vacation, and it was when they were shooting the third Transformers movie, and she just so happened to be there on the weekend. And I remember she was like, what a cool city you guys live in. She's like, you know, I'm doing all this cool stuff, and then we spent like hours watching them, you know, blow all this stuff up on, you know, right by the river. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty neat, you know, cool to see.
It's big for, you know, for big cities to get big movies. That's a big part of it. And you know, Betsy Steinberg and everyone at the Illinois Film Office, they put a lot of time into getting that done.
Definitely. So Jawheads, as we mentioned, Wild is out in theaters, and because of that, we've killed her to death already. Yeah. I don't know. I would guess you guys are going to answer all 8 questions I have in Reese Witherspoon trivia. It's going to work like this. It's just Reese Witherspoon, and I'm going to name the cast, and you just got to tell me the movie. So Reese Witherspoon plus 2 other actors, and you just got to name the film. They're easy to start with, and they're going to get tougher as we go along.
All right.
Of course, it works like this, Mac. You're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Mac go first. There are steals if the person doesn't know it, and if he gets stuck on one, Elias should have a clue. You get 1 trip to the ER for Elias Rodriguez.
So you're going to ask me, okay, and I can say I'm either going to take it or pass.
No, you don't pass. You got to take
it. Yeah, you make your best guess.
If you don't know it, Matt gets a chance at it, and back and forth.
Okay. If you get it wrong, I get a chance to
All right.
Or vice versa.
All right.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right. You want question number 1?
I want it.
All right. Question number 1, Reese Witherspoon trivia.
Election.
Just for the sake of it, can we at least hear what the...
That's a first. Oh.
This is hysterical.
Get some bloodies in. My intuition goes through the roof.
Question number 1 over to Mac was Reese Witherspoon, Matthew Broderick, Chris Klein. That's awesome. It is 1-0, Mac. I love it. Wow, that was spectacular.
You got it? Can you go before the hit?
We'll
can
see.
You go
before the hit? I would think
I know what this one is. I know what this one is.
Cool intentions.
Question number 2 over to Matt. Matt, Reese Witherspoon, Mark Wahlberg, William Peterson.
Jeez, I don't know this one. Okay, Water for Elephants.
Damn it.
This is great. You got a chance for a steal here, Mac.
What was he in with? I don't even consider William Peterson a star, so I don't know why you would mention him.
He's a Chicago guy, Mac.
He is a Chicago guy. He does nothing to support
Chicago.
I
saw him in Steppenwolf ensemble member now. I saw him in Steppenwolf play not too long ago.
That's great.
You know this one?
Not a guess, but I'm just trying to think. Mark Wahlberg. What would Mark Wahlberg be doing in a Reese Witherspoon movie? I don't. Am I allowed?
If you want a trip to the ER, he has a clue, but you only get 1.
I don't even think a clue will help me. All right, I'm going to pass.
Wow. Had to think back early on in both careers of Reese Witherspoon and Mark Wahlberg. We were going back for a while. We were looking for the movie Fear.
Oh, Fear. That's right. Yes. I would not have gotten it.
No.
Wow.
I would not have gotten that.
Don't know that movie.
That was a great one.
Wahlberg's a stalker. Yep. He basically gets all freaking New York on. Yeah. And he's like, let me in the house.
I'm going to
stalk you now.
He gives Reese Witherspoon the master blaster on a roller coaster.
Yeah. Wow. Hello.
I don't even know what that means. It sounds dirty.
Watch the movie.
Okay.
Real quick. Full disclosure, this is the first week I'm ever actually writing the clues in the jaw box. So that clue was, I have this emotion every night Matt visits the jaw box. So
you would have got it at that point.
I fear the master blaster or whatever you just said.
Wow, I would not have gotten it.
All right. It's still 1-0. It's still 1-0, Mac. Question number 3 is over to him. Mac, Reese Witherspoon, Michael Shannon, Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, I just have to say Michael Shannon is actually a Chicago guy over at Red Orchid Theater, and it's one of the best actors to come out of Chicago.
I took Elias to a play over there. This is
a bit appalling because I'm pretty sure that Matt knows this, but I'm going to say I don't know.
Matt, chance for a steal.
Witherspoon, Michael Shannon, and who was the third?
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
How do we not know one that has Matthew McConaughey in it?
I don't know.
Mud?
Oh, you fucker!
Oh! I'll tell you what.
Damn it!
All you have to do is change Michael Shannon, Matthew McConaughey, and it changes everybody. You know, you right away weren't thinking of Matthew McConaughey film. Wow. It is 1-1 tied up. Unbelievable.
It just came out!
I know.
We were talking about it a little earlier.
Shan, I'm sorry. I haven't seen it.
It's 1-1, and Matt's going to roll with this question. Matt, question 4. Reese Witherspoon, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe.
Felipe.
Whatever.
It's is that...
I think both of those pronunciations were wrong, by the way.
Cruel Intentions.
That's a layup. Yeah, that's a layup.
Matt takes the lead now. 2-1. 2-1. Question number 5 over to Mac. Mac, Reese Witherspoon, Patrick Dempsey, Josh Lucas.
Okay, Sweet Home Alabama. Let's go. Let's go to work today.
Nice.
Now we go.
To clarify, it's just Alabama. Josh. It's just Alabama, but we're going to give it to you.
All right, good.
The name of the
film
is just
called Alabama?
Yeah, it's just Alabama. Oh, maybe it is Sweet Home Alabama.
I think it is.
Oh, is it Sweet Home Alabama?
Just to clarify, you're wrong, right? Let's clarify that.
Holy cow, it is 2-1.
I know my Josh Lucas movies.
It's 2-1. I mean, I'm sorry, it's tied 2-2 now. Okay. Mac and Matt are tied. Question number 6 over to Matt. Matt, both you guys have your rescues. Question 6. Reese Witherspoon, Luke Wilson, Selma Blair.
Oh, man. Luke Wilson, Selma Blair, Reese Witherspoon. I'm going to go to the ER on this one.
Oh, a trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez. What was the name of that Luke Wilson, Reese Witherspoon movie?
No, don't tell him. You just get to tell him the movie. You just get to tell him the name.
Just a clue.
It's a clue.
Just said, "What's the name of the movie?" That's a pretty good clue if you're going to just tell him the answer.
Your clue is the opposite of an unlawful brunette.
Legally blonde. That's.
Might as well just tell him the name of the movie.
Wow. Thank you. I forgot all about that movie, or I've been trying to.
Wow. It's not that bad of a film. It is 3-1,
Matt.
Matt
is devastated over here.
Wow. House rules here.
It's
house
actually
rules.
3-2. Can we please, for the love of God, get the score right, right, the movie guy.
3-2, Matt. Question 7 over to Mac. These are vital questions here. Oh, man. Cut the tension in here with a knife.
Or a Bloody Mary. Oh, nice. Right.
Question 7 over
or
to you, Mac.
Or a Swiss Army knife.
All right.
You guys are good.
Reese Witherspoon, Chris Pine, Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm. I know the film. I just have to. This Means War.
It came to me. It came to me.
Wow.
Wow.
You wouldn't totally, have gotten
no,
that one.
No.
This is
studio
great.
Film. I had it.
It is tied 3-3. It's the last question of the game.
Oh, nice.
It comes down to Matt. Comes down to Matt. Here we go.
So if he gets it right, this is over?
It's over. It's over.
If it's
the way
wrong,
to break down. If he gets it wrong, Matt gets a chance
this.
For a steal.
If it's walk the line, I'm going to take you guys. I'm walking out of here and breaking shit.
All right, here we go. Question 8, and don't give him any clues, all right? Question 8, Reese Witherspoon, mm-hmm. Vince Vaughn, mm-hmm. Robert Duvall.
Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn with Bobby, huh? Some crappy comedy.
Tied 3-3. He's already used his lifeline. Mac is biting his lip.
The breakup?
Oh,
Four Christmases. It's over. Oh.
There you go.
Damn it.
I even mentioned that shit film. It was like World Series of Poker over here. I literally closed my eyes, put my head down, and just stayed silent. I was like, don't say anything.
Four Christmases. Oh,
it's the worst Reese Witherspoon movie ever made.
Bobby Duvall, huh?
Only to be followed by the worst Vince Vaughn movie ever made, maybe, which is unfortunately saying something. Vince Vaughn's got to start making some good movies, man. He's actually a pretty good actor if you get the right role for him.
Hilarious.
He's
just and a been Chicago a train wreck. Guy also.
Chicago
yep,
guy.
There you go. Mac wins this one. 4-3. Ooh. Can
handshake.
We get a handshake?
Yes.
Felt good.
That
felt
was
good.
Awesome.
Well done, sir.
In case it was a tie, we call it a jawbreaker. We would ask you this. Going back to the movie Fear, who would you rather date, Reese Witherspoon or Alyssa Milano, who's also in the movie?
I would go with Reese Witherspoon.
That is incorrect. It's Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano, I think, has breast enhancements, and I just don't think, though she might be a little naughtier than Reese Witherspoon.
That's why she gets the edge.
Yeah, Reese might talk to you about, let's start a family, let's talk, no. Alyssa's going to be like, let's go. Let's do this. Let's hit Dave and Buster's and then go back to my place.
Real jawbreaker was this. I love it. Real jawbreaker was this. Age of the principal in Election, Matthew Broderick. How old is he?
Matt, how old is he today?
Yep.
50 years old. 50.
Lock him in at 50. 50. Mac, you got a guess?
I'm going to go 48.
We'd give that one to Matt. He's 52. 52.
Mm, nice pull. Nice pull.
Yeah. Wow.
By the way, I already won. I just want to get that straight.
Absolutely.
And I won with four Christmases, let it be known.
That's why it was so funny.
Is that really a win, though, Mac?
When I saw the last question and I knew Mac like had talked about it, I thought this is going to end in absolute hilarity because I didn't think Matt was going to get it. I really didn't.
I saw that with my mom at some Cineplex in Crystal Lake. Thinking, you know, because, I mean, when you get to Christmas, you're like, there really aren't many Christmas movies. You know, like,
no.
This was the only halfway Christmas movie, and we're watching it, and I'm just sitting there like, what in the world? This is so horrible.
Yeah.
I was stunned.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome that Matt was stunned by Four Christmases. And
yeah.
You lost it. You blew it there. Matt wins this one 4-3. It's always a great jaw when Matt comes on.
Totally.
For the jawheads listening to this again that want to get involved with the Midwest Independent Film Festival, best place to find information online?
Just head right to MidwestFilm.com. And jawheads, you're welcome to shoot me an email at mac@MidwestFilm.com. Drop me a line anytime.
Also, I know we have a lot of filmmakers. We've interviewed filmmakers on here that got their movies playing. So also hit you up on email if they got a film they want to shoot over to you.
Yeah, if you got a film that you made here in town or anywhere in the Midwest, you know, send it over to me. Mention Rye, mention Matt, and we'd be happy to give it a look.
Awesome. Thanks again for coming on, Mac. We also got to thank the best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, guys. Got to skin this turkey.
Turducken. Turducken.
Oh, yeah. Turducken. I forgot about those, too.
Also got to thank the sponsors.
Yeah, thanks to all the sponsors, and thanks to the New 400.
Yeah, best theater in the city. They have a full liquor bar. Check out what's playing at the New 400 at their website, thenew400.com.
Yeah, we thank them for their support.
Reminder, we are on Instagram. We're everywhere on iTunes and
Stitcher.
Everywhere.
Yeah, anywhere fine podcasts are heard.
So until next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on talking about movies.
Peace.